I wasn't going to leave Hamburg. Like I said, I always told my guys, it's going to take a perfect storm to get me out of Hamburg. And that perfect storm brewed with, like I said, the broken promises. There's a narrative going around that I took a better offer and Munich offered more money, und so weiter. That definitely wasn't the situation. I never got a phone call from the Sea Devils. I didn't get a phone call. I never got an interview. I never got a text message. I just heard through the grapevine that, hey, they're talking to this coach and that coach. And I'm like, okay, you've been promising me this for years. But when now it's the time to give it to me, all of a sudden I'm not good enough to be the head coach.
Einen wunderschönen guten Abend hier im Mediamarkt 3000. Mein Name ist Dario. Ich bin heute der Q, weil der Q uns heute leider krank ausgefallen ist. Deswegen übernehme ich heute mal an dieser Rolle. Insofern vergebt es mir. Es wird nicht ganz so perfekt werden, wie wir es kennen, aber ich werde mein Bestes geben. Mein Gast heute ist nämlich kein geringer als der Head Coach der Munich Ravens, Kendrell Allison. Und ich freue mich wie Bolle, mit ihm hier heute durchzustarten. Wir sind heute im Mediamarkt in Heidhausen, wie ich gerade schon erwähnt habe, nicht im Spiegelbergers Diner. Wir werden dort auch wieder zurückkehren. Deswegen würde ich mal sagen, Bühne frei, Kendrell rein und let's go!
Welcome.
So, und was ich euch noch nicht verraten habe, ist, dass wir heute tatsächlich die Übertragung auf Englisch machen. nicht, weil er kein Deutsch kann, sondern weil er lieber auf Englisch konversiert, damit das Ganze ja auch irgendwie ein bisschen flüssig ist. That's why we're going to switch to English now. And first off, welcome. Thank you for being here.
It's an honor having you here.
And also, welcome to the Ravens crowd, the fans that are here. Herzlich willkommen auch euch.
Definitely. Nice to see y'all.
So, let's kick it off by what are we actually cooking today?
Chicken sweet potato curry with a little rice. So there's no real special, you know, meaning behind it. I like sweet potatoes, I like chicken, and I like curry. So might as well whip some good up.
I think it's going to be good.
Definitely.
Before we start, let's just like figure out where we got all the stuff that we need. So you sent us grocery shopping, and I think we have basically everything here. So what's the first thing that we're going
to
do?
So the first thing we need to do is peel the sweet potatoes, cut the onions, get the garlic right.
All right.
So we'll start with this.
So this sounds like a good and solid
exactly.
start. Wonderful.
All right.
And while we do this, I'm going to just like keep asking you questions and talking to you about all the stuff that we want to know. And maybe just like first start it off by who are you? Who's Kendrell Allison?
Who's Kendrell Allison? Oh, that's a good question. You know, I'm a football coach. I'm a father. You know, I'm from Alabama, 36 years old from Alabama. Been in Europe a lot longer than I expected to be in Europe. But at the end of the day, I'm just a simple person. I'm a foodie. I love to eat. I love to eat. I love to work out.
That's
I love the simple things in life.
Good things in life.
The good things, exactly, right? So I think that's it, man. For me, I'm an open book. There's not a lot to me, I think.
We're going to check that out. We're going to dive into that and going to see what we can squeeze out of you here. In the meantime, I think I'm going to just like start chopping some onions.
For sure. If you just do get one onion and just chop it up as small as you can. I'm not the type of person that like my onions to be too big, but if you can just chop them up pretty small, then we'll be good.
I'll try my best here.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you basically just arrived in Munich. So how have you settled in so far?
Cool. So far, I'm living out in Oberhaching, which is a cool little spot, a little bit outside the city. The one thing I wanted to make sure I did this year was not really live too far from the practice facility, too far from the office. In Hamburg, I was so far away. Driving to practice, getting back from practice was a little hassle. So Oberhaching is cool. You know, nobody's just going to pop up and see you. So that's the best thing about that one. So it's good. I can't complain. And obviously, I've brought the Hamburg weather down here with me as it's been a little rainy, a little wet.
Jesus.
But overall, it's been good. I can't complain at all.
Okay. I mean, you're basically a Hamburger Jung, as we say. So you like really, you have like your middle of life nowadays is in
Definitely.
Hamburg, right?
Definitely.
So you're commuting back and forth, or how are you doing it?
No, I'm living here. I moved down actually the beginning of March. At first, throughout December, I was coming back and forth for the off-season program and all the training and things. But, you know, for the season, I need to be down here. I need to be present. I need to be active. And I came here beginning of March, had a few good days of sun, and then now it's the cold and the rain. But overall, it's been nice. I've been able to go to the castle in Neuschwanstein, which was good. I've been able to see, I think, Tegern Sea.
Yeah.
Probably, if I pronounce these words wrong, forgive me. But
nah, I've, the been classics.
I've been able to see these things for sure, and it's been actually pretty nice.
Neuschwanstein, I mean, this is something that you got to see, basically, when you come down here. It's the Märchenschloss, as people like to call it here.
Definitely.
So, nice. We can hear that you're not from around, not only by the accent that you don't have, but especially, I mean, your English is still pretty solid. How did you end up in Europe in the first place?
Oh, man, it goes back to 2010, actually. Finishing college at the end of my college playing career, my college days, about to graduate. Of course, everybody had the dreams of trying to go play in the NFL, trying to play in the CFL, play somewhere stateside. And definitely I had that dream and I had that opportunity, not with the NFL, but the CFL, to at least get a look. But ultimately, it was get a look in a camp or get an opportunity to come to Europe. And being from Alabama, I didn't know anything about Europe other than what they teach us in the back of a history book. And an alumni from my school was just telling me a little bit about it. And he was saying, hey, you know, check it out, email the teams and see what's up. And I didn't know they played football in Europe at all. And I filled out europlayers.com. I made a profile. And after that, a few teams started contacting me. And luckily, I locked on to a team. The only problem was the season started before my graduation. And the one thing my mom wasn't going to allow was for me to leave and not graduate, as that was more, my graduation was bigger for her and my family than it was for me, as I was the first person in my family to graduate college.
I see, okay.
So, of course, with me, I would have said, all right, hey, put me on a plane, forget graduation. As long as I get my degree, I'm okay. But for her, it was like, nope, it's not going to happen. So this team in Finland, Empori Finland, actually.
You ended up in Finland.
Finland, of all places.
Okay, it's like the warmest place in Europe, by the way.
But, you know, Finland, it was a great opportunity. This was the only team that was willing to, you know, sit around and wait for me to come. So I missed one game, and eventually I went over a day after graduating. I graduated, family had a party that night, and the next day I took all my things back to Alabama as I went to college in Tennessee, and I was on a flight to Finland. And I'm sitting in that plane, and I'm like, okay, I can't turn around. It's no going back. You know, when you look at the monitor and you're flying over the ocean, and I'm like, all right, so whatever's over here in Finland, I got to deal with it.
Finland, okay. I mean, it's not exactly the first thing that comes into your mind when you think of American football and Europe. So, I mean, it is just not. So how come that American football is that big in Finland? I mean, did you know that when you started?
I didn't know it was big anywhere in Europe, actually. I had no clue. But I was willing to, you know, take that leap of faith. And at least, worst come to worst, football's not big over in Finland. At least I get to see Finland. I get to see Europe. So it was a win-win situation to kind of get out of the U.S., get out of Alabama. And ultimately, it was a great decision. Now, I got to Finland, and of course, there was no one in Finland that looked like me other than my roommate who was from Michigan. But the people were very welcoming. Everything was in English, so back then my accent was a lot thicker than what it is right now. So thank Forrest Gump, thank, you know, Bubba, thank all
Bubba
of that.
Gump.
Yeah, thank Bubba. That was what my English was like then, mumbling everything, but eventually I knew and learned how to open my mouth and speak because, you know, you want people to understand you.
Pronunciation is key, yeah, right?
Big time, big time.
Tell us people of Bavaria as well. Bad, no offense here. Okay, so while we're doing this, we're like chopping sweet potatoes. I'm doing like chopping onions and garlic. What are we actually cooking today?
So today, chicken sweet potato curry. The one thing for me, I love seasoning. You know, I love my food to be seasoned. I don't want anything bland. So we got a lot of different flavors that's going to pop when you taste the curry. And curry should have a little seasoning in it anyway. So like I said, I'm in Alabama, in America, where we love sweet potatoes. So sweet potatoes, I love chicken, and I love curry. So eventually I was put on to this dish, and I just tried to make it my own, add a few other little things here and there. So something simple. Something easy. The cook time isn't long, but at the end of the day, it's very satisfying.
Nutrition, I guess, right? Yeah. The protein for the chicken.
Proteins,
there you go.
Yep, for sure.
Great.
You gotta have the proteins, though.
Yeah, that's. I mean, you're at the end of the day, you're still an athlete, right?
Not like I used to be, but I'm trying. You know, you gotta fake it until you make it, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm doing today. I already said that I have to do like some push-ups because next to you, I get lost here. But all right, I mean, you're still in the game and. I guess that you worked out this morning, right?
I actually did. I actually went to the gym this morning, had a lower body day, posterior chain, and, you know, getting some glutes, some hamstrings, and some legs in. So it was a good one this morning, around 7 o'clock this morning. It was solid.
The attitude of a champion here, right? So speaking of champion, what was your biggest success while playing
as an active player? As an active player, I wouldn't even say I had a lot of success, truth be told. Was never really on any type of playoff teams, never won a championship as a player. Had some individual successes for sure, but these things don't really go too far. You know, of course, I'll trade that for a championship any day.
As far as I know, you are an European, no, what was it, like touchdown something Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Is that right?
I am actually, for whatever that's worth, I think that kind of goes to all the guys who've been over in Europe longer than they expected to be over here. But definitely being able to play in a lot of different places, impacting the game. So, you know, I got a plaque for it. It looks nice. It's in my house.
Nice.
I can't complain about that at all.
Ah, well, you gotta take all the successes that come along there.
100%, right?
So tell me, is this enough? Do we
need
more garlic?
Perfect, perfect.
You're good?
Now you're good.
Perfect.
We're going to just add that to the chicken, give it a little flavor right there.
Up here a little bit. And in the meantime, you can tell me, because success only comes with losses. So what was your biggest defeat that you can remember where you say, okay, that one hurt?
As a player?
As a player.
Oh, man, like I said, I wasn't on a whole bunch of good teams, so it was a lot of losses. So it's hard to – they all kind of mix in and mesh in together. But I would probably say in college, my junior year, we were in Indiana playing DePaul, and it was a good football school. And it was a cold game, very cold game. And me being from Alabama, I definitely don't like the cold. And it really wasn't the biggest loss. It was more of the biggest loss in the sense of – there was a play that kind of sticks in my head that I wish I could get back, but ultimately I can't get it back. You know, they threw a swing to the running back, and of course I played linebacker then. You know, it should have just turned into a normal sideline tackle between me and the cornerback, but of course it was cold, and you know when it's cold and you're playing football, you don't really want to touch anybody too quick. It's freezing. And the cornerback thought I was going to make the tackle. I thought he was going to make the tackle. And the guy kind of just snuck in between of us and scored like a 64, 65-yard touchdown.
That hurts.
And it's one of those where, like, oh, shit moments. Like, yeah. I didn't make that tackle.
Yeah.
My coach on the sideline let me hear about it. It was the worst play of my career. So I would say I can remember that play more than I can remember the losses right there.
Yeah, I mean, these are the ones that stick to you, and that actually
100%.
They hurt, and they make you remember, but this is like, I think this is a mistake you would never do again.
No, for sure, and it's a mistake that I never did again, and it just taught you, hey, go hard every play. You know, you don't expect anybody to make the play other than yourself making the play.
Don't go half-ass.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. So, and that's something that I try to instill in the guys right now as well.
Nice. So, I mean, starting your career in Europe and Finland is already something. Now you're around here in Germany. So what was your path like? Where did you go after Finland? Did you like stay there? I know that you also played with the Huskies, but what happened in between?
No, I played in, okay, so I went to Finland, and of course after playing in Finland, fell in love with the country, fell in love with the people, just fell in love with Europe in general. But everyone always told me that the best football was in either Germany or Austria. So of course I went home to the States, as we did every offseason. We were only here for like 4 or 5 months, go home for 7 months, and you start trying to recruit or get recruited by teams. And I said, either Germany or Austria. That's what it's going to be. Because I played on second league Finland, there wasn't a lot of teams that was just trying to say, hey, we want you to come. So for me, it boiled down to either going to Serbia or going somewhere else, or, you know, coming to a third league German team. And of course, the team, you know, told me, hey, we don't have the budget to get you here right now, but if you pay for your flight, you get over here, we'll get you a job, we'll reimburse your flight, you know, telling me all the good stuff, you know. So I end up, I was working at the Postal Service, U.S. Postal Service at that time.
You're a mailman.
I was a mailman.
You're a mailman.
I was a mailman delivering
honest
those.
Honest day's living, honest day's work
right there, baby. And I paid for my flight. I'm going to just sit this over here.
Yeah, sure.
Get that. Yep. Paid for my flight and came over to Lübeck. Played in Lübeck, Germany with the Lübeck Seals. Good team. You know, great players. Can't say anything about the players. Met a lot of great people in Lübeck, but the organization was bad. You know, there was a lot of...
I mean, also ending up in Lübeck after coming down from Finland. I mean, that's not exactly what we call, like, a big city.
No.
Don't wanna offend anybody in Lübeck here, but I think as a guy from Alabama coming down to this kind of, like, smaller cities,
it was different.
It was different. Culture
just because
shock.
Culture shock for
culture
sure
shock, yeah.
Because Finland, I lived in the west coast of Finland in a beach city, party city in the summer, and I was 21, 22 years old at the time.
So at least you could already party here in Germany. So
exactly. So in Germany, in Lübeck, we were in a situation where we couldn't, at 22 years old, we couldn't really get into the one club that they have in Lübeck. We could go to the bars and the things, but it was like cougar bars. It was old people bars, you know, hanging out. So listen to a little Schlager music.
Yeah,
here
but
and
tell
there.
Me that the Cougars, they were, they. I mean...
They probably wasn't upset about it, but, you know, at the end of the day, at 22, that's not the scene that I really wanted to be in.
pointing on the obvious here.
Let me get this on real.
A friend of mine calls himself Schokohase. So.
Schokohase?
Yeah.
And I know enough German to know what that means right there. Okay, so we got that real quick. Let me make sure.
Yeah, so I got the onions here.
We'll let this just start.
I also got your Apfelschorle here.
You're the man right there. I appreciate that.
So whatever you need. Let me just know what I can also do, because right now I'm...
So we'll get the chicken out now. So
we'll get the chicken out. That's good. I can do that.
Yep.
All right. Chicken. There is the chicken. And while we do that, and before we move to the next stop after Lübeck, first off, I'm going to invite the people that are like just like saying there, just take a seat. Don't be shy. Come here. Sit down. And next off... I told you during our prep call that I'm going to dive into the internet and I'm going to really like dive deep to find some of the old stuff, the good pictures of you. And it took me a while. I have to be very honest.
Yeah.
It took me a while, but I found some good stuff. So let's have a look at it. I'm going to show you a picture and you're going to tell me the story behind.
Okay.
We have like a small screen over there where we can see it. So what's going on there? What's the situation?
That was in Poland, 2012, in Breslau, Poland. They had just taken us to the big stadium. I think that may be Tarczynski Stadium. They took us to the stadium. We weren't going to play there, but
so
they wanted us to
see
it.
This is where the Panthers
They're
going to
have
now.
A game there this year. Well, they didn't play there now, but I think they're going to have one or two games there this year.
You know,
actually, the guy who's sitting on the armchair, he's David Tarczynski. He's the son of the big Tarczynski guy.
Okay.
And then we got Demos, we got Servin, and then we got Skip Poole, who was the coach. And then me and Darius, they were talking to us, just showing us a little bit of Poland, you know, showing us where we possibly could play in the future.
So this was not while you were already with the organization? That was
No, I was there. This was probably one of the third days, one of the first few days I was there. So
okay.
Yeah, so.
You look happy, I have to say. It's like...
No, I think they were trying to give me that platter. It was Tarczynski is a meat factory. So it was a lot of pork right there. And I don't eat pork. So I think they were trying to. Yeah. So
they're trying to figure out how the hell do I come out of here?
I'm trying. Yeah. How do I not eat this without being rude?
So. Yeah, I feel you there. This is, yeah, okay. So, but just to come back, so you went to Poland then and you played in Wrocław, which is now the Panthers, right?
The
so
Panthers.
They were called Devils back in the days.
Eventually,
right?
They were called the Devils and they were called the Crew. Uh-huh. And these teams end up merging to make the Panthers. So I played for the Devils. It was a short-lived stint with me and the Devils. You give me that back? Appreciate it, baby. And I played for the Devils, and then eventually they merged and they became the Crew.
Got it. Should we heat that one up, by the way? I do already.
It should be heated up, I hope.
Perfect. Yeah, it looks
good. It's gone. So, yeah.
Okay.
So if you don't mind, just start chopping up the chicken, baby.
Chicken?
Yep.
I can chop
Dice it up, small pieces.
Okay.
I'm just trying to wash it off a little bit.
All right. In the meantime, we'll have a look at the second picture.
That's me and my mama right there on senior day.
On
so that's senior
day?
Yeah, senior day in college. Up until I was in college, she didn't see any of my football games. She was working all
so
the time.
So that's your mom?
That's my mom right there, Jackie. My little twin right there. So she came to senior day. I played in Memphis, Tennessee, and my family was big supporters when I was in Memphis, Tennessee. My grandmother used to do all the tailgating and cooking.
Nice.
Everyone used to ask, hey, when is your grandmother going to come so she can bring some ribs, some chili, all of the southern cooking. So, yeah, that was senior day. I think she was more happy about it than I was, but it was a good time for sure.
So your mom never got like scared of you playing football as a linebacker? Did you always play defense, or did you also consider offense once?
Well, I started playing offense, actually. I started playing football when I was 5 years old. And I jumped in playing flag football first, and I was a fullback. Fullback and an offensive guard, just because I was a little chunky. I was bigger than most of the kids.
Mm-hmm.
I played fullback in the first year of tackle football. I was playing fullback as well. Scored a few touchdowns. I wasn't a fan of getting hit, though. I didn't want to get hit. I would rather hit people.
You want to hit people.
Yeah, I want to hit people. So
I don't know why I always like... I played running back, so.
Yeah, see, you chose the worst position.
I like
to play
pain
right
or something
there.
Like that. Yeah. I don't know, man.
Yep, a glutton for pain. So for me, it was more so I just want to hit somebody. So eventually I moved to defense, played defensive line, and I stuck with defense, and I never really tried to play offense anymore.
Okay. So this was, it's already gone, but what year was that?
Senior year, I graduated college in 2010. That was 2010.
So basically, this was right before you came to Europe, then, right?
Right before, probably a few months before I came to Europe, actually.
And is that some sort of like a special occasion game, or?
No, that was just against one of our rivals. I think we played Swanee, Tennessee. That's just our rivalry game, and nothing real special about it, other than all the parents come for the seniors. Eventually, our senior class started as freshmen with 25 players, and by the time we were seniors, it was down to around 7-8 players, because everybody just, you know, end up quitting or end up just wasn't made for what you have to do to play college football.
Okay. I mean, everybody has seen Last Chance U, I guess, so
yeah.
I want to see how JUCOs and how this not D1 programs and whatever
mm-hmm.
work. This is the best to do to get an impression on what it actually, what's like playing football
in
this kind of environment as well there. All right, next picture. Let's see what we got there.
See what you're cooking up.
Okay.
Where you find this?
Seriously,
right
what
there?
The hell? What
Listen,
is that?
That was when the fad of these training masks was out, and everybody wanted one. Everybody thought, hey, this is a high elevation. You can pretend that you're training up on the mountain or something like that.
Did it work?
Well, it just cut your circulation off. I don't know if it worked. It made you tired, and it looked good. But other than that, I don't know how much it worked. So that was me and my guy, Curtis Slater. We were playing with the Huskies that year, and we both had the mask. And we were just out there doing our warm-up in the mask to try to get our oxygen pumping. And obviously, the newspaper took it, and they ran with it.
Okay. Looks tough there.
It looks tough. No, yeah, it ain't as tough as it looks. Put it like that.
Trust me, I'm a ninja. mask men are from Hammer Park, okay? Well, I mean, this trend never happened, I'd say.
It didn't hit down here?
I don't remember it, actually. I remember seeing some guys in the gym doing that, like
uh-huh.
when they do like these workouts. But I think after COVID, nobody wants to wear a mask anymore. So
probably not.
That one is gone.
Yeah, and this was... if I'm not mistaken, this may be around 2015. Yeah, because I met Curtis in 2014 when he played for Marburg. So this was definitely 2015. So well before COVID, well before the mask and all of that stuff. But, you know, it looked cool. It looked
tough. It looked cool. That's, you know? It looks tough. That's,
as long as, you know, fake it till you make it, right? You said it, right?
100%. So what we got next in there?
All right. Oh, man. Man, where are you finding these? I thought I hid all of these pictures.
I told you. I spent some time, but I found them.
This was a photo shoot for Women's Day in
for
in Poland.
Women's
yeah,
Day.
For Women's Day. So I,
don't tell me that you didn't get one there.
I know. Hey, well, you know, it was fun. It was a different shoot, and there was a lot of different pictures that we took, but that was definitely they said, hey, maybe if you put some glasses on, you'll look like Little John. So put some glasses on.
Wow.
And ultimately, that's what – I think if you look at the comments on that picture, everybody was like, hey, we didn't know Little John was playing in Poland. But,
well,
you know, that's pretty much
it. It worked, I'd say. It worked, definitely. It's definitely a pretty much of a good picture there. I'd love to see the rest of the picture from the photo shoot.
Please don't show those. Please don't.
Nice one. All right. So let's see what we got here. So we chopped – the onions, we chopped the garlic, we have the chicken chopped,
so now,
and the sweet potatoes already
yes,
cooking there.
They should. It's on four. Four should be the highest. I don't know if it goes any higher than that.
It should be going any higher. Ah, there you go.
Oh, see?
Seven?
You know, we need to get it to a boil, so let's
to boil?
Let's crank that thing up a little bit. Cool. So now, if you get the seasoning out, we got the seasoning over to the right. Yeah, give me all that good stuff right there.
There we go.
All right.
So we got, like, plenty of stuff here that we can use. So, okay, let's keep going. We were in Poland. What happened after Poland?
So Poland was actually a very tumultuous kind of season. I had to grow up a lot in Poland. Just from a situation, me and the head coach didn't really get along. He was a guy that only coached semi-pro football in the States.
Okay.
Very, let me say, narcissistic, you know, into himself. And eventually it got to a situation where the players on the team would follow me more than they followed him. His scheme wasn't as great. Him as a person, like I said, I never want to talk bad about anybody, but I could have done well without ever meeting that person in my life. So,
all right.
Long story short, I played three or four games, had a great time there, great games there, leading tackler, leader of the team. But it came down to one practice where he wanted me to do the scout team defense. Mm-hmm. But his defense was to only run cover zero the whole game. So he said, hey, scout team defense, you can run anything you want to run.
Maybe you want to explain what cover zero means, because we have some of the guys that are not locked too deep
locked
into
in.
That. So
definitely. So cover zero is when you pretty much have no safety over the top. It's man-to-man coverage. He wanted to blitz six-man pressures the whole time and have nobody, no safety net on the back end.
So nothing on the back. Every long pass is going to actually.
Pretty much. So that just definitely wasn't the way. But for him, it was the way. And, you know, he knew it best. He didn't want anybody else to say anything about it. So, so I ran the scout team. And he said, hey, you can run anything you want to run. So I said, okay, I'm going to run anything I want to run. So we were running all the coverages, doing all the things we need to do. And the offense just couldn't really get anything. So it turned into him wanting me to help him, to him trying to make me look bad in front of the team. So we kind of, you know, hindsight's 20/20. I should have probably shut my mouth and not said anything. But you know, being a young man and him being a man, it was one of those things. You asked me to do something. I did it to the best of my ability. You know, there's a right way and a wrong way to tell me something. So in front of the team, we kind of bumped heads, and the defense was following me. But, you know, so we played a game that weekend, and Poznań had a great game. And then the sports director called me and said, hey, we want to bring you in. We need to talk to you and talk to Darius. Okay, me and Darius come in. I'm thinking, hey, the offensive players aren't playing good. They're probably going to let the offensive players go, and they want to give us a heads up. They called us in to let us go, and ultimately they released us to bring in two of his friends from his semi-pro team that he coached.
Okay.
So it was a lot behind it, you know. I don't like to speculate on, oh, it was this or that, but it was some shady, some snakish moves, you know.
Yeah.
So that kind of soured me towards Poland as a whole. The players, love the players. I'm still friends with a lot of the players that play for the Panthers. But as far as the young Tarczynski guy and the organization, I just, nah. So anytime we played Poland recently, I just wanted to destroy them. You know, make them understand, you know, the mistake that they made right
yeah,
there.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
So after that, I got released. And the crazy thing about us, they called us in on a Tuesday night and said, hey, you know, we're going to release you. Your flight is in the morning, you know.
Whoa.
So, yeah, in the morning.
Okay.
Appreciate it, baby. So didn't really give us a heads up. Didn't really, because I'm like, hey, I'm connected throughout Europe. Can you give me an opportunity to find another team? No, you got to get on your flight in the morning. Okay. So, of course, I contacted some people that I knew in Germany that I met from Lubick. Max Potts I knew. And, you know, I was like, hey, you know, 2 weeks. find something, and I had a great supporting cast to come back down to Hamburg, a little bit outside of Hamburg and Schwarzenbeck also, to, hey, find something. And if you find something, great. So it didn't take long for me to link up with the Huskies, because when I was in Lubbock, I played against the Huskies, actually. So found that team. All right, so now we're going to get that the pan from down there.
Yep.
So linked up with the Huskies, and that's when my history in Hamburg pretty much started right there.
Okay. So, yeah, because I read something that then you switched teams in 2012, right?
Yep, 2012.
Yeah,
yep.
And there was like some sort of controversy where your Spieler Pass, your Game Pass actually was pulled in by the German Verband, because mm-hmm. you played in Poland, mm-hmm. you weren't really allowed to play with the Huskies. What happened there?
So I had a ban. It was just that...
Is it that pan that you need or the other one?
Yeah, this is perfect right here. Okay. But we want to use the top, right?
It doesn't matter, you can use, cool. Paul gave us permission to use any way we need.
That we'll use this one right here, since it's a little bigger, and then we'll get the chicken going.
Here.
We can turn this one down a little bit, now that it's boiling. We just really want these to get, you know, sweet potatoes are super hard, so you just want to get them a little soft. Mm-hmm. So yeah, my first, the Husky signed me. But the international transfer card, I played in the city already, so eventually I had to sit out, I want to say 3 games. That I had to sit out and I couldn't play. Worst 3 games ever, because, you know, I'm eager to play. I'm eager to show what I can do. But they stuck with me. Kept me there, which was a great thing. And then when I finally was able to play, that's when the fun began.
That's cool. So we've got the chicken seasoned with, mm-hmm. what did we actually chicken the season
so,
with?
So, man, we seasoned it with a whole bunch of things right here. The one thing, like I said, I want to have some taste. So we definitely got salt and pepper, put a little paprika in there, and some garlic. You know, just, you know, can't go wrong with garlic, right?
Garlic's
there. It's
going
to give
you
a little taste right there. So that's what we've seasoned it with. So what we're going to do now is, you know, cook it up a little bit, brown it with some onions, with some garlic, with the seasoning in there, get it going, and eventually we're going to take these out, add this to it, then add the cocoa's milk, add the curry. You know, and then we'll cook the rice. The rice is the easy. Well, you know, I had a superior rice maker show me how to make rice. So my rice should be real good.
I'm going to be learning tonight. That's good.
Something.
That's
I
good.
Was like, hey, do I want to get the bags of rice? Or let me get the real rice and cook the real rice. So
nice.
So we'll see. It should turn out good. I've been practicing it a little bit. So let's hope for the best. What we can do, get the sun-dried tomatoes. It's always hard for me to open this thing right here. We got them right here.
Okay.
So if you can just chop up like 3 of these.
Yep.
Doesn't have to be big. Doesn't have to be too small. Just a little average size right there.
Gotcha. Okay.
And I'll get in here and see if we got a spoon real quick.
While I chop the tomatoes, let me continue with my questions here. One sec. Add some oily stuff here. So, yeah. We were talking about you coming to the Huskies and then... Finally and eventually, no, you also went to Saarland as well there?
Yeah, I played for the Huskies a few years, and it was GFL. First, it was third league when I came, and then we moved up. Eventually, they moved up to GFL too. But, you know, my whole goal was always to play first league. First league Austria, first league Germany, to play against the Schwäbisch Halls, the New York Lions at the time. They were the big dogs, you know, so I wanted to play against those teams. And Saarland, in 2014, Saarland contacted me, wanted me to come down there, came down there. Had a great season down there, had a lot of fun down there, met a lot of great people. And after Saarland, I went back up to Hamburg, actually. Hamburg had won the GFL 2, and they were going to go to GFL 1. And, of course, Hamburg had already become like a second home for me.
Yeah.
So it was an easy decision to go to Hamburg. Hey, as they start off their journey in GFL 1, why not be a part of it?
Yeah, makes sense. Absolutely.
And that's where that history started. And I became – the Huskies just became family over the time. And it was good. Can't complain about it.
Saarland. I mean, not everybody would also expect that you end up in Saarland, because that's like the Finland of Germany somehow. But
it was a good spot, man. It was
real
good.
Nice.
It's not too far from K-Town and Mannheim, Kaiserslautern. And you got the army bases, so the culture was good.
True.
And we had a few of the soldiers that were on our team also. So it was real good to kind of just get back around a lot of American culture as well. So I couldn't complain. It was a great spot.
Sounds good. I mean, this brings me also to my next question. I mean, you stayed like in Hamburg afterwards, and this is also where you started your coaching career at one point, right?
It is. I stayed in Hamburg. I bounced back. I went to Czech Republic, played in Czech Republic for a year, but then I finished my playing career in Hamburg. And eventually that team just had lost a lot of players because they were split up between Kiel, Elmshorn, all these different places. So eventually the team was young and just not ready. So I'm like, okay, hey, why not just stay here and become a coach now? I think we went 0-15 one season, that last GFL season. Couldn't win if our life depended on it. So it was just one of those, hey, let's just coach. I'll jump into coaching. And I was always a defensive linebacker, but also a defensive coordinator, okay, playing the same thing. So now it's like no more playing, just coach.
So were you a player's coach? Like, did you play and also
I played
coach?
In coach, yeah. Okay. I was the linebacker. I wait till the teams line up. Even in Zarlin, I had that role. Wait till the offense line up, and then I call the play based on their formation. So now if I just got to call the play, it's easy. It's simple.
Of course, yeah. You've seen it, like, firsthand.
Okay. So, yeah, so I jumped into coaching. And throughout my time with the Huskies, I coached U16, U13, U19, helped out with those. So I had coaching experience, but I jumped straight into being the defensive coordinator and the head coach for the men's team. And, you know, I told Trout and Sebastian, hey, just give me an opportunity to change the team around. You know, just give me the leeway. So, honestly, I was the marketing director. I was the head coach. I was the therapist. I was everything.
You did everything,
man. You know, so.
Did you also cook for the team?
No, I didn't. But I did find a lot of sponsors for the team to make meal deals. So that's even better right there.
It's even better. That's right, yeah.
Yeah, so that's where my coaching career as a men's coach started in Hamburg.
Awesome. Sounds good. All right. And there you were. And then all of a sudden COVID hits. And there's this guy, Patrick Azume, we know him all,
yep,
comes up with the idea of all of a sudden coming up with a ELF, with a league in Germany. How did it hit you? Or like, were you like in the beginning like, all right, let's go coaching? Or
not at all, not at all. Of course, I've seen a lot of leagues try to start up in the U.S. and it's always like, okay, hey, they sell a good dream. It sounds good, but it ain't really going to happen, you know. So I didn't really know how the lay of the land in Germany would be, because post-COVID, nobody knew how anything was going to actually be. So it was one of those situations where actually, Max and Andreas Numnison contacted me 2 or 3 times asking me, hey, you know, do you want to come in and be the linebackers coach? And I'm like, I'm a head coach right now. Like, I'd much rather pass because, you know, I need stability. You know, this is my job. This is my main job. Though I was working at an international kindergarten on the side, it was more like football is my moneymaker. So I'm not going to jeopardize this for a maybe league post-COVID. And ultimately, they talked to me a couple times, and I'm like, nope, I'm good. You know, and me and Max were good friends, so it was like, I don't want to tell you no, but at the same time, you know, you're not paying my bills also. Yeah. So, honestly, it came down to Nami, you know, picked me up one day after work, and we actually went to a Korean chicken spot over in Altona, you know,
man.
And I guess that's how he got me. He got me with some fried
that's
chicken.
That's food, yeah.
Exactly. So we sat there on a rainy day eating chicken. Korean chicken, and he was just like giving me the pros and cons of it. Why not? You know, why not? Because if the league does hit it off and it's big, at least you can say you were there from the start. And for me, I'm not a follower. I'll jump on and I'll bet on myself. So eventually, Zumi reached out to me and told me a little bit about it and the possibilities. And I jumped in as a linebacker coach for the Sea Devils.
And there you were. Like, I mean, the first year of the Sea Devils was, I'd say, pretty successful. And you ended up in the championship game.
Did.
And then the second year was also not too bad. And then all of a sudden, things changed in Hamburg.
It did.
What happened? Tell us. Because we know just so much as people have shared with us so far. We've heard statements from other players that moved. And there's a lot of rumors going on, like you declining, you getting the better offers, you just wanted to leave, you just wanted to try something new. But we just learned that you are actually a Hamburger Jung. Yeah, you have your family over there, but yet you're here in Munich. So how come?
All right, so with the Sea Devils was great team, great window of opportunity. A lot of these players I knew for a long time. Like I said, I played with them.
Yeah.
I coached them when they were young. We had great relationships. Our whole goal, even as a player, when I first came in, I was telling these guys, man, what would it be if we got all of the players in Hamburg together on one organization and one team? If one team in Hamburg could get it right and all of us came together, then it'd be a great football team. And ultimately, the Sea Devils were able to get all the guys from Elmshorn, get the better players from Kiel, get all the Hamburg guys back to Hamburg. And we had great times. It was a great team. And we honestly, year one, we had all that success, but we were a little ahead of schedule, you know, because Frankfurt came from their team. They were was an already organized team. We came from a lot of lower level teams, but we hit it off, even though Ted Dasher was the first head coach, and it wasn't a great situation. And after week two, I became the defensive coordinator, Nummy became the head coach. You know, it was always offensive guys wanted to play for Nummy, defensive guys wanted to play for me. So it was a perfect fit, perfect situation. Barely lost out to Frankfurt. I think it was 32-30 in the championship game. But we saw then, hey, what Hamburg football can be. So year two comes about. Nummy had to, you know, take some time off to be with his family, which is understandable. We got a new head coach. Of course, at that same time, I was being promised that, hey, you know, the team is going to eventually be yours. You know, the team is going to be yours because Leipzig wanted me to come be the head coach and come in and join Fred Armstrong also as either the head coach or the DC, whatever they planned on doing with him. And, you know, they was all – the Sea Devils was telling me, hey, you're going to be the next head coach. Stick around, learn under certain people, and it's going to be your shot. Okay, well, I'll always – you know, I'll check my ego at the door any day. I'll sit there and say, if you bring somebody in I can learn from, that's better for me. So eventually brought in Yogi Jones, great guy, great coach. And we had a great success that year too, you know, but after losing two championship games, you know, the questions start being asked, what are we doing right? What are we doing wrong? And the issue with the Sea Devils was never the players. The talent was going to always recycle because Hamburg had great youth talent.
Yeah.
The issue was just, and it definitely wasn't Max Potts. A lot of people like to say, hey, Max Potts, you know, made bad decisions. Max did everything he could to help out the players and be with the players. But there were people above Max also that it was just bad decisions. You think of, you look at the trip to Klagenfurt, you know, playing that championship game. Football, and you travel, you want to be on schedule as much as you can. And for us to have to take a bus down to Klagenfurt, 14 to 16 hours, the bus breaks down. Vienna only has to take, what, maybe a three-hour trip. We stay in a hotel. There's no meeting rooms. Everything was off schedule. Everything was just bad. So there was a lot of decision-making at the top
level, yeah,
that a lot of people lost trust. And I was the one that could kind of keep that trust in. But, okay, also for me, the trust started going because you're telling me, hey, you're going to be the future head coach, but then you sign Yogi to a three-year deal. So for me, that's telling me, what do you plan on doing with me? Because I don't plan on being just a defensive coordinator for 3 years. But, of course, I love Yogi. I'm going to work with him. It's cool. So they gave me the title of assistant head coach. On paper, that sounds great. On paper, that looks good.
You were assistant coach of the year as well, yeah, right, in 21.
I was. So we had a 21, great team. 22, I do believe I should have even got it in 2022. But our OC now, Kyle, eventually got it. But I think the defense we had in 2022, there's not a defense in Europe that ever really matched what we were able to do. So ultimately, giving me the assistant head coaching job, still promising me, hey, you're going to be the next future head coach. Perfect. Sounds good. There was a lot of things. In 3 years in Hamburg, the defense was known to be the defense. The defense was going to be the defense no matter what. So what we're going to do now, we're going to knock these onions. Yeah, we're going to pack that in here.
All right.
Yeah.
With the garlic?
It's over. Yes, sir. Let's get it in there. Okay. So now we'll start cooking that a little bit. Perfect.
So I just added the garlic and the onions into
So we're going to let that saute a little bit.
It already looks delicious.
Yep. Yeah. And eventually, in about 5 minutes, we'll put the sun-dried tomatoes in also.
All right.
So, yeah, being promised that spot, being promised the head coaching job. But we're in limbo. Yogi's on a three-year contract. You're promising me something. I'm not really going to sit around and just sit around.
Obviously.
So, offensively, we was having issues, which we had many years in Hamburg. And that Frankfurt game this past year was kind of where everything broke apart. You know, being up 14-0 at halftime, opportunity to beat Frankfurt in PSD Arena. Teams don't really go down there and beat those guys. All we have to do really is don't turn the ball over. Don't turn the ball over. Let's get out of here with a 14-0 win. Perfect.
We know this from Tirol, I think.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, of course, what happens after halftime? We turn the ball over 5 times in a row. Boom, boom, boom. Giving them great field position. Defense could make some stops. But ultimately, we broke, you know. And mentally, I think that game, we were on the field 85 to 91 plays defensively, you know. So you can only play so long. And that kind of created a big separation with the team. And, you know, I'm trying to keep it together. Of course, we played more games and we were losing games. We just close games that it wasn't the same Sea Devils before. We lost that leadership, you know. Yeah. We lost that vision.
Trust also, as we also
trust for sure. That trust was completely gone.
What led eventually to the to you coming to Munich?
I got you covered. It looks bad. It is, you know. My mom always say, "Hey, you know, you got to clean up after yourself." But I feel like, hey, the biggest mess I can make, that means the food gonna be even better. And now let me try to get this over my big head real quick. All right. So after the season, I had an option in my contract to either come back to Hamburg or, you know, become a free agent, so to say. But for me, after seeing the lay of the land and what was happening with the team, it was more so I'm only going to be able to come back if I'm the head coach. Like, I've played this second fiddle. I've been here off the paper. I was damn near almost like the head coach, but I just didn't have the control to do some of the things that needed to be done. We knocked these tomatoes in there. Perfect.
Okay, so this is where it gets interesting for us, because we've already received some questions in the chat. They want to know about cultural differences from here to Hamburg and whatever. So before we go there, why? Why Munich? What happened?
Why Munich?
Was it the best offer?
No, not at all.
The best opportunity for me to...
Not at all. Of course, like I said, my family's in Hamburg. I'm Hamburg. I wasn't going to leave Hamburg. Like I said, I always told my guys, it's going to take a perfect storm to get me out of Hamburg. And that perfect storm brewed with, like I said, the broken promises. There's a narrative going around that I took a better offer and Munich offered more money, und so weiter. That definitely wasn't the situation. I never got a phone call from the Sea Devils. I didn't get a phone call. I never got an interview. I never got a text message. I just heard through the grapevine that, hey, they're talking to this coach and that coach. And I'm like, okay, you've been promising me this for years. But when now it's the time to give it to me, all of a sudden I'm not good enough to be the head coach. Or, you know, I don't have whatever you want me to have to be that name, so to say. So the narrative is that, you know, I declined an offer. I never got an offer. I never got a phone call. And me and Max was, you know, leaving to go to Ryan Fire. So he was vouching for him. He's like, listen, this is the guy you need to have as the head coach. This is the guy you need to have. But the people that was in power decided not to go that route, decided not to go that direction. And me and Sean and Shoot, we talked actually last year. And I actually turned down to be the DC in Munich last year because I'm like, no, I've been promised the head coach in Hamburg. I'm eventually be the head coach. So this year I reached out to him and I'm like, hey, I'm not going to re-sign my option. You know, I'll be willing to come down as the defensive coordinator because I love, like, me and Shoot had a great relationship. Regardless of what happened with Shoot down here, me and Shoot were good. And I was like, hey, that offense, my type of defense, that can be crazy right there.
I mean, his playbook for the offense, we saw what can happen.
Exactly. So the Sea Devils never tried to keep me. As much as I said, hey, I want to be there, I would love to be there, they never reached out to me about it. So,
well, lucky us, I would say, because now you're with a two-year contract with the Munich Ravens.
Definitely.
We're super excited and stoked to have you here, because what we already could see since you arrived here is that a lot have changed within the organization. We see a lot of, like, new guys coming in. You did, like, the entire recruiting was like on a whole different level, and let's pick it up there. What was different this year in the recruiting? Like, you started like in early December, I think.
Yeah.
And now we're almost there. We're like roughly 50 days into the season.
Mm-hmm.
Where are we standing right now? We had like the OATs. We had like first practices. We have now the imports being able to practice.
Mm-hmm.
You recruited a few of the imports as well there. So what was this process like? Tell us a little bit about it.
For me, it started once I signed. It was like once a few guys knew I was coming down here, it was like, coach, if you go, I go. If you go, wherever you go, I want to be there. As long as I can make it fit in my personal life and situation, then I'll be willing to come and get things figured out. So, and that's guys from other teams also, you know, but I played a lot around Europe. I know a lot of these guys. A lot of these guys saw what we were able to do here in the past 3 years. So as a player's coach, people would gravitate towards me. So the one thing with Munich, though, you know, me and Sean talked about having depth. You know, having a team, not going into OTAs and not going into camp with 50, 55 players, but let's make sure we bring in the best that Bavaria has. So my goal was to say, hey, let's put a fence around Bavaria. We put a fence around Bavaria, keep the Bavarian talent here, but also the homegrowns, because imports are imports. At the end of the day, imports should be able to, you know, cancel each other out. The team that has the best homegrowns will be the team that will be the most successful. So for us, it was like, okay, let's see. And not to say that the homegrowns were bad last year, but we could find better and we can develop them better. So we really got into the recruiting trail and different teams and different people, but also finding those Munich, those Bavarian guys that were playing in different teams and giving them a reason to come back home, you know, because they were – whether it's professional or whatever reason, if they had a good football team home, they would come back home. And eventually you see that in guys like Regler, Marco Schlabitz. You get all these guys coming back. So it was put a fence around Bavaria, get the Bavarian players back, but also let's create a pipeline in different places. Stuttgart, Hamburg, Berlin, all these different places, Tirol, you know, and be able to get the best players from there. Also, whether it's through import spots or whatever the case may be. So we really hit that recruiting trail hard to sit here and say, hey, these are the type of players we want. These are the type of players we're going to go get, you know. And we really said, hey, let's bring in more than the 65 because some people are going to feel like and realize that ELF football is just too much, too demanding. But if you go with 65 and 7 or 8 people feel like it's too much, then now in April, March, you can't find that talent anymore. So why not bring them in early, give these guys an opportunity to be in your workout program, your off-season program. If they don't make it, then, hey, they go back to their team, and they're a much better football player than before, you know. And we wanted to create a culture of competition to where guys know, hey, it's an earn-everything mentality. No matter where I come from, no matter if I played here last year, if I want a spot on this team, I got to work for it. I got to grind for it. And we went through a grueling offseason and got it all figured out for sure.
You brought some pictures of that offseason. It's like what you call the fourth quarter program.
Fourth quarter program.
And maybe we can show some of the images that you brought there. Because it was tough on the guys, right? So it was like what you would expect from a U.S. team. But you can see it here like this. I mean, they're ripped, man. What the hell did you do to them?
That's just Titsian. Titsian, he's been on this show.
He's been on the show, Titsian, yeah.
He's just a monster, man. Like, but, you know, he knew what was coming. And he knew what was coming, and he had a great offseason. And right there, we're just doing a tile fight. You know, we just put two tiles together. You put them in a circle, and it's a man on man. You know, at some point, that's what football boils down to. One-on-one, your one-on-one matchups. If you can't beat the guy in front of you, if you're not willing to go the extra mile, then, you know, you're not going to be successful. So we put them, you know, the fourth quarter program isn't anything that's just all so crazy, reinventing the wheel or anything. It's easy. It, from a physical standpoint, it's just, you know, the same drill, repetitive, repetitive, repetitive. But we do it at a rate and at an intensity that we say, hey, we're going to put you through the fire. We're going to get you to that wall because a lot of people will take themselves to that wall, but they're afraid to see what's on the other side of that wall. So we want to really see who would go through that fire, and once they come out that fire, what's behind, you know, what comes next.
That's some energy there as well.
So. Oh, yeah. We were doing tug of wars.
It's Lawrence, right?
That's Lil Regler right there, yep. So all these guys, you see Lawrence, a new player, Nico, Eric Eichhorn, you got Novak in the back. You know, these guys are grinding. They accepted the challenge to sit here and say, hey, we're going to work harder than we ever worked before. We're going to come in and get it.
So is this some sort of Urban Meyer kind of thing where you like have them in the weight room, like grinding, throwing up and just keep going and going through it?
Yeah, so you say Urban Meyer, I say Nick Saban. I'm an Alabama guy. So
all right, got you there. All right.
So when you think about the fourth quarter program, a lot of teams do it. It's just mat drills. It's just going into a drill. We had the –
it's like going beyond.
Going beyond. We had the buckets lined up because they were going to throw up. They were, you know, we had guys almost dying. But the one thing I saw, and I've been doing this fourth quarter program with any team I've been around, these guys didn't run from work. You know, they wanted to work, and they came to work. And each week, we were having 40, 50 guys there. And I'm like, these numbers, I was expecting maybe 20, 25. Yeah. But to have 40, 50 guys, even if they were throwing up and dying the week before, they knew I was coming every 2 weekends. And when I came down,
they were there.
They were there. So that showed me right there that the notion of what I've heard about Bavarian football players where, oh, these guys are just entitled. They, you know, they play football because they like it. They don't play football because they love it, you know. And these guys showed me, if you're willing to go through the fourth quarter program and you're willing to get through that and keep coming, that shows me a lot about your character right
there. That's some sort of OTA there, by the way. That's a different kind of style.
Different monster right there. Different.
But I guess that they came out stronger, as you like to say. 100%. And even if they didn't make it, like they were cut it now, so they come back to their home team or to whatever team they were coming from as better men.
And they'll be much better, 100%, much better than before. And that's ultimately what they did. That's ultimately what they did.
I can't wait to see them like performing on the field then. So.
Before we get going again, you grab that pot right there.
Yeah, sure.
All right, now I'm going to show you how to cook some good rice.
Yeah, I'm curious to see that. In the meantime, while we're preparing the rice, you have to thank some of the sponsors of today's episode. So we have been gifted by Edeka Simmel with all of the ingredients here. So thank you very much. They are here in the Einstein Center, I think it's called, like Das Einstein. And Edeka Simmel, vielen Dank dafür. We have also... Yeah, we have the pleasure to be here in the red corner of MediaMarkt Heidhausen. Thanks again for having us here and all the equipment and everything. They built a kitchen for us. Imagine that. I mean, I told them we're coming here. They said, let's get it started. We have a kitchen for you ready and ready to roll. So come in whenever you want. And also Memories, still branding us here with the great shirts. Thank you for that as well. And last but not least, I can imagine when I see the guys sitting over there, some of them are not taken yet, I'd say. And if so, we have a partner that called Servus Spatzel. They make like single events. So we're not going to go Tindering or whatever here. They have like a good concept where they profile match you and they figure out if you find your perfect match there. And this week we have a code that is called, I think it's Spatzel 22. No, not Spatzel, Tackling 2022. And this is where you can get your Rabatt code. And what I just learned today is that they have not enough guys signing up for that. Picture that.
Get the players on there, you know.
Get the player on that. So,
line up, you know.
And they're going to have nice brunches and sporting events, so you can do whatever you want there. So sign up now and don't miss the chance to do so. Okay, we have done some cooking here. So we have seasoned the chicken with curry in the meantime. Mm-hmm. We have put like sun-dried tomatoes to that. We have put in the sweet potato, and right now you're adding...
Let me get the cocoa's milk in there so it can simmer a little bit. The sweet potatoes are still a little bit al dente, a little bit harder, so we're going to make sure that, you know, they get a little softer.
Okay.
I'm not a fan of, you know, hard sweet potatoes.
No, it's good.
It's good. It's on low heat, so it's all good right there. And the rice should be on also, or the oil for the rice so far.
Perfect.
Now the question, I don't know, and I didn't say, do we have a cup? Any type of measuring cup or anything like that?
Yeah, wait, there you go.
All right, we'll make that work right there. All right, so we do the right. So all I'm going to do right here is just put this cocoa's milk in.
I think we do have some additional questions from the crowd or from the viewers there. Maybe if somebody can give them to me, then I can continue with the questions. And in the meantime, so where are we going this year?
You told us
about the preparation. We have now, we are like the mini camps are coming up, or the training camps are coming up. And then it's basically, it's game day. The home opener is like around the corner, basically.
Right around the corner, baby.
And what will it look like? What are we aiming for? Playoffs? Just going to survive? Or where are we going to go?
Of course. I'm definitely not. I didn't recruit anybody to come here to just hang out, to be a average team, to see the mountains and do all that. That's not what we're here for. We're here to win, you know. And, of course, we know what the destination is, you know. What we said, though, is that we're not going to talk about that destination. You know, let's focus on the journey. Let's focus on everybody wants to talk about championship culture, championship. But there's a lot of small things you have to do before you can reach that potential and be able to get there. So we say, hey, focus on that journey. Focus on getting there. You know, focus on day by day, game by game, a daily commitment to excellence. Because if you can't do the small things right, there's no reason to talk about a championship. Now, on paper, we put together a team that should be, you know, quality. But like I said the other day, you know, there's not a game of football that's ever been played on paper. You know, sure. That just don't happen. So as good as we look, our goal is just to get better daily. You know, get better. Let me get out. It's okay. I got this right here.
Yeah,
all right, we'll make it work. Our goal is to get better, grow as a team, grow as a brotherhood, and things are going to happen organically. You know, things are going to happen as they may happen. We're not going to force it. I think you can look at the media and the media set expectations of, oh, you should be that, oh, you should be that. But I try to tell these guys, you know, don't look into that, don't feed into that rat poison, don't drink that Kool-Aid. You know, we need to focus on what we need to focus on, yeah. You know, and be a better football team each day, get better. So, of course, expectations are high. You know, our owner, Thomas, made that clear the first day I met him. And I told him, hey, you can't threaten me with a good time. You know, if that's what your expectations are, then let's go get them. You know, let's go get them. So, of course, we have the expectations, but everything is sugary and sweet right now. We hadn't played a game, and everything is high. Everybody's looking for these expectations. But at some point, you know, I want to see what we're going to be like when we face adversity, when we get smacked in the mouth a little bit. What type of team are we really made of? That's when we're going to find out what type of team we really are. So it's hard to say what we are right now, because when everything is going good, new coaches, new players, new this, new that.
Perfect.
It looks good. You know, everybody's saying you're going to be good, but what happens when it's not as good as you think it is? So when we figure that out, then we'll know. But of course, we're trying to play deep into September.
I mean, that is very good, because the question that we just got from the fans is, so after the first practices, or after the amount of practices that you've had so far, what's your opinion on the guys?
We got some dogs. We got some dogs. We got some real good. Like, listen, I watched a lot of film from our team last year. The same guys that came back and the new guys that we're bringing in, it's different. It's worlds of difference. So for the fans, for you guys, for everybody that follow us, and I'll say it to the camera here, we got a lot of different football players, and we got some guys that really know how to play football, and we got coaches that's going to give them that mentality and that vision that we need to have right there. So we're 15 practices in already. You know, 15 practices in, and we're working on going into camp this weekend, and we're going to have a lot more practices before we go to Sinsheim. So we're going to be a really good football team. But right now we just have to become a more disciplined football team, you know, a team that can take the coaching, you know, and apply the coaching and retain the coaching that we're giving them. And when we can be more consistent, disciplined and more consistent, we'll be okay.
Sounds good. I mean, if this doesn't answer it, I don't know what does. So we have some rice.
Oh, yeah. I'm making sure I didn't get this thing a little too hot.
And then we have the chickpeas left, right? And then so, we're almost
the
there.
The chickpeas just go in on there. It's not too bad.
I had to go directly.
You know, what you can do while I do the rice, though, just a couple spoons of this curry paste. We're going to dump that in there.
Yep. Just checked it out.
And we're going to pop one of these bad boys in there. So we'll give you that one, too. Some of that chicken broth. All right, so what you do with this rice, depending on how much rice you want, and we'll put... Depends on how many people want to eat. You going to eat?
You going to eat?
Y'all going to eat a little bit?
Wonderful.
All right.
We have some hungry people
just got to make sure I know how much rice to make.
I think the crew is also going to be happy if they can
get a little bit.
Get a bite.
So I'll do a little bit more rice. You can't go wrong with rice.
Is that enough? Let's check that out.
Let's see. Yeah. And just keep stirring it slowly. Turn the heat up a little bit.
Yep.
Just keep it stirring a little bit. All right. So I got to make sure. The key to making this rice is however much you put, you double the amount of water. All right, so if I put 100 grams in here, or like I said, I want to say if it's 100 grams, then I'm
roughly. The crew is hungry, I just heard, so they're all down for a snack.
You got to put the double amount of water in there. So that's the main thing. So I want to make sure I do it right, because I've been practicing this at home, so I want to make sure it's good.
I've also seen that you've put like oil into the
pan. Put a little oil in there, yeah. That's I didn't even know that until I was taught to do that, and it's been
if there's something that I can mess up, then it's cooking rice.
They'll get you. That's why you got the bags of rice, but I didn't want to do the bags.
Yeah, that's embarrassing. I
wanted to show a little cooking skills over here.
Yeah.
So let's say we got 300 right here.
So while we have the Ravens crowd here as well representing, you have any questions to the coach? No questions today?
They just here right now, baby.
They just want to eat.
They just want to eat. It's okay.
Okay, so we're. You told me during our conversation before that you have a special turn-on mentality as well, like especially when it comes to the championship question. So we know that everybody's always talking about championship, and we're here to win a championship, and championship here and championship there. How do you handle that with the team?
You got to humble yourselves. Of course, I think there's 16 other teams in this league that's going out and fighting for a championship or won a championship. But you got to keep them grounded. Keep them grounded on what it takes to win a championship, what it takes to, you know, because championship is not just going out there and playing football. It's about having that right mentality, you know. So for us, we preach mentality. We preach you know, doing the little things right all the time. We preach, you know, not really focusing on a championship, but focusing on just getting better, you know, and focusing on yourself, becoming a better football player, becoming a better man, you know, becoming a better team, becoming a brotherhood, and mixing and molding in together the right way as it should be. So for us, it's about trying to keep them grounded. So now what I'll get, you give, I put 300 of rice, so give me 600.
600.
Yeah, 600 of water. And we let me see. See, we don't have hot water, but it's okay. Normally, if you do it with hot water, it comes to boil faster, but it's all good. Mm-hmm. So with me, it's just the mentality. I'm big on mentality. I'm big on, you know, you got to believe you're a winner before you even play the game. You got to think of, you know, think like a winner, walk like a winner, talk like a winner, do the necessary things as a winner would do. And that's something we preach to them every day. You know, what do you want this to be? And what I try to do is make them, you know, have a little ownership of what we're doing. You know, it shouldn't be, hey, this isn't Kendrell's team. This isn't Sean's team. This is your team as guys, as players. And once they start realizing that, and like I told you the other day, my mom always told me, you never really know the value of something until you pay for it yourself, until it's your own. So, you know, and I give them that, you know, question of, or that thought process. Listen, I've always had, it may get a little steamy, but it may not because it's not as hot. Yeah, just going to get it in there. All right, perfect, perfect, perfect. All right. Then we're going to turn the heat up a little bit on that. We're going to bring it to a boil.
Okay.
All right. So I tell them, hey, you know, think about having PlayStations. You know, when your mama buy you a PlayStation, you know, you leave it at your friend's house. You don't take care of it. But when you buy your own PlayStation 5, you're going to make sure it's taken care of. You know, so I try to tell them, this should be a player-led team and a player-driven team. It shouldn't be a coach-led team. I'm here. Yes, I know I'm the head coach. I know what I get paid for, but I want you to take ownership of this. When we talk about Bavarian football, it's about you guys and what you want Bavarian football to be. So ultimately, they're slowly but surely. Yes, sir. It's getting right.
It's delicious.
Yeah. Man. So, okay. So what we're going to do now, put a little bit more curry in there. Like I said, we want to have taste. All right.
That's some good stuff.
There we go. Mm-hmm. And if they start taking ownership of what they're doing, we can't fail, you know. And we do a lot right now of just understanding each other because we got a lot of new players, a lot of new coaches. And what we're doing right now is trying to figure out what's each individual's why. Why are they doing here this? Or why are they in Munich? Why are they in Bavaria? Why are they with the Ravens? Why do they play football? You know, what makes them the man that they are, not just the football player that they are? And when you start understanding each other, and you start depending on one another, then you're willing to go through a wall for one another. And that's something we're trying to build. We're trying to build that culture of love, that culture of understanding one another. Not just a, hey, Ravens don't, you know, complain. Ravens just go. Ravens play hurt. No, you know, I've been around football long enough, and I've been around Europe long enough to understand these are men before they are football players. These are fathers. These are brothers. These are all these things. Football is just a glorified hobby for them, you know. Sure. So I try to make sure that they know that, hey, I understand you. I understand the things you're going through. We understand you. You got 65 plus brothers, 17 coaches that are like father figures to you. And if we can get them to, hey, we care about you, not just the football player you are, but the man you are, then everything that I can tell them and I can preach to them is going to be easy.
So basically you're really like walking the talk of football as family, creating a good relation with the team, with the guys, with the players, valuing not only the player, but also the person behind, and understanding, also like creating some sort of understanding, hey, there's more to just like playing football in your life. I understand that. And this is why they pay you back by like doing like stuff like they did, like going hard on the weekends with you when you're coming down from Hamburg.
100%, you know, and I think I'm not too far removed from being a player myself. So I know what type of coaches that I was drawn to. Oh, yeah, that's looking good. Mm-hmm. All right, so we can turn it down a little bit. Yeah. Just let it simmer a little bit because you don't want the sweet potatoes to get too soft. So now we got mostly everything in there. We'll eventually drain these and put these in there also. Just get in the cashews as well. Give it a little crunch. Yeah, we're done with that.
Side.
So we can put that there. And then we'll drain the chickpeas.
Just
not going to use them all. Yeah. And then we'll put the cashews in there as well. So what I need to do is turn my rice down now. So you're going to turn that rice down. All right, once we turn that rice down, what we're going to do is put a paper towel on top. All right, so we're going to do here, drop that on top of that.
Look at this. Okay, what is this going to do?
Man, it's just going to let it simmer. It's going to let it get soft.
Okay, and so what, for the audio listeners, he just like put a piece of paper, tziva, on top of the pan and on the pot and close it with a deckel.
That's it.
That's the trick.
We're going to let it cook. You always want to bring it to a boil.
Let it cook.
Put that on top of it. You let it boil or let it cook for maybe 15, 20 minutes. It's get all the, until all the water comes out of it. The rice is going to soak up all that water, become thicker, become nice. Then you stir it up and it's ready to go.
Sweet. It looks delicious. It does look delicious.
Looks can be deceiving sometimes, so I hope it's where it needs to be.
Wonderful.
But
and we're almost behind time. No, we're not. We're like at roughly an hour in the pit, but that's fine.
Okay.
I think people, they're not going anywhere now, so we good.
Perfect.
So yeah, I mean, we're excited to see what's going to happen. I'm going to be at the camp next weekend and check it out. And I think some of you guys are also coming just to be present and support the guys, because what I would like to know now is like, how have you like? I know that in Hamburg you have quite a good relation with the fans there as well. But Munich, like the Munich fans, is a different beast. Have you experienced some of them already?
I've seen a few of them. Some of them, I've seen them either out in town. I've been able to see them. Even when I came for the tryout, I was able to meet a few of them. I haven't met them in full force yet, so that, I'm really looking forward to it. Other than a few guys I've seen here today, I'm really looking forward to having them come around, invite them to a practice, let them come around for a practice to see what we do. Because I think that's what football is about. We talked about football as family earlier. It's easy to break it down on family. It's easy to say these things, but the harder thing to do is to live it. You know, whether it's with the fans, with the family of the players. This past weekend, we had a family day where all players were able to bring their family, their spouses, their significant other, because it's been important for me that they understand what we're investing. You know, I don't like to say sacrifice, but what we're investing and why daddy may not be home all the time, why my boyfriend can't go on dates throughout the summer because he's already in another country playing. You know, so for me, it was important for them to come together. So also they can create a support group within one another of saying, hey, we're dealing with the same thing right there. Hey, let's travel to the game together. And I think when they understand what we're doing and we understand them and we can all bridge that together, then that's when you start saying, hey, it's an extended family. And that's the same thing to the fans. A lot of these fans are going to be traveling home games, away games.
They do. You know, they will come to Barcelona. Picture that. They will just like take a plane and just come to Barcelona.
And I love it.
It's amazing, yeah.
And for me, I don't want the team to ever be unapproachable. Or to seem like, hey, this team, it's the football team and it's the fans there. You know, we're all together. So anything that I can invite them to and they can come to and they can see what we really do, then that's what we're going to do right there. And we're still in the early stages trying to just build a team now. But there will be times where they're going to be allowed to come to practice if they want to come to practice, you know, meet the players, see the players. Because at the end of the day, we're just football players, you know. But we want to build those relationships with everybody that we come in contact with.
Wonderful. So how are we looking here?
We're good right here, man. Right now, we're just going to let this simmer. I can try to – yeah, those sweet potatoes are nice right now. All right, we're just going to let it simmer a little bit. Eventually, towards the end, we'll add the cashews in so you get that crunch a little bit in it. But as far as this goes, I want to make sure. But I think we're good, baby. And then we'll taste it. Let me get a little taste right here. And I'll let you – we have any more spoons?
Spoons we don't have. We have to take a fork there.
That's all right. Now you can't really –
oh, the big one. Edwards.
I'm going to let you taste it, and you tell me.
All right.
I'll just rinse it off and wash it off. Perfect.
See that?
Paper towel. You hold that for me?
Yeah, sure.
Yep.
Oh, yummy.
All right, here you go. Don't grab that thing. Let you get just a little bit of that good
stuff
curry. And you need to let me know if it needs a little bit more curry or not.
Just check this out. I'm making a mess here again.
It's all right.
Oh, wow.
What you think? A little bit more? It's all right.
I'm good with the curry.
You good with it? You know me, I got that southern taste bud, so for me, I'll go a little bit.
I can use a little bit more.
Yep.
I would actually add like something spicy.
You like it?
You like into spices, okay. Like spicy stuff?
I do.
You do? Well,
yeah, sure.
Give it on.
We can get down with the get down then. We'll put a little bit more in there.
A little bit of that.
All right.
And I think with that, we're going to wrap it up here at that point. The rice is almost done there, and then we're going to have a nice little crew dinner here. Coach. What else to say then? Thank you so much for being our guest tonight.
No, I appreciate it.
It was fun. I hope you also had a good time. It looks like you're doing a workout here.
Man, I know, right?
I'm
trying to stay away from the food so I don't drip no sweat in it. But, no, I definitely appreciate you having me. I was telling you before this, man, I'm a little more nervous about this than a football game right
now. I used to see it. Wasn't that bad, man.
Nah, you know, you always make it worse than what it seems sometimes. But, no, it was great. I hope it could kind of give guys an idea of who I am, what I'm about,
what
made me come down to Munich, and I'm looking forward to it.
I learned a ton about you today, and also during our first conversation, so I'm really, really excited to see what's coming up. And what's coming up is actually the Nürnberg game. We will have a very, very big game in Nürnberg. Also wir werden das Nürnberg-Spiel natürlich auch bestreiten. Wir werden den Home-Opener bestreiten. Wir haben einiges an Terminen. Die Tickets sind bereits auf der Webseite zu haben. Und ich würde sagen, ab jetzt geht es einfach nur noch darum, Tickets kaufen, dabei sein, das Team anfeuern und alles mitnehmen, was noch so geht. Damit sind wir am Ende. Ich sage danke. Thanks, Coach.
Dankeschön.
Was great having you.
Vielen Dank.
Und wir sehen uns wieder in 2 Wochen, wenn es dann wieder heißt Tackling the Taste. Wir werden euch rechtzeitig noch informieren, ob wir wieder hier sind oder ob wir wieder im Spiegel Wer ist Deiner sind und dort aufkochen und ein paar leckere Burger nochmal verdrücken. Unser nächster Gast wird ein Import. Insofern seid gespannt. Es wird gut und wir freuen uns bis dahin. Have a good one. Und jetzt essen wir erstmal. Und wir sehen uns.
Ciao.
That looks